auspicious first meeting of the semester, and the topic was also very wonderful, value of association. So Anand Padmani Prabhu, just making up the total, he got just 70%. And he got maximum marks for introduction and for humility. So other than that, he also got marks for facing audience, expression and such things. So a few comments I wrote about it, wrote about his presentation, which with his permission I will let everyone know so that others can also derive some benefit from it. Like when you talk of any topic in the coverage, we expect you to speak the most essential examples or incidents given under that particular heading. For example, in this topic of association, there is one very prominent example given by Srila Prabhupada, which we naturally expect you to speak. Like, anybody can say? Prominent example Prabhupada would give. Yes? Regarding association. For association, one simple example Prabhupada would give very often in his speeches and lectures and all. So we have to quote that, yes?
Iron
rod, yes. All of you know this, or anybody has not heard about it?
You told them?
Heard about it? Yes. Of course, Prabhupada says iron and rod are the story of this thing. If he has quoted, probably I didn't listen it, I was speaking. That's one thing. Another thing was, we should quote more common examples like Valmiki associating with Narada Muni. Mrugari, of course, he quoted. Mrugari was a very appropriate example of those who are very fallen, and by small association day, I think Valmiki quoted also, right?
It was there on paper.
Okay. And I have written the point that you should leave tension, otherwise you will have some stammering. I have written. So, also, we encourage all of you to, as far as possible, avoid preparing any notes and coming. You can prepare yourself, but then you don't use any paper. Try to avoid everything and just speak very spontaneously and naturally. That will be very interesting for the audience to see. Audience appreciate one who speaks directly to them instead of referring. That's one point I've written. And anyway, other things were all very wonderful. The presentation was very good and the examples were very good. Words are very clear. I've written a little more proper formation of sentences that I've written. Otherwise, presentation, overall presentation was very excellent. So we will discuss some of the questions. I was very happy with the answers also. Maybe this can be considered additions to the answers given by Anand Padmani. I thought this is a very essential question about studies and bhakti amongst all the questions. Many people get this question when they come to Krishna consciousness. Should I do studies or should I do Krishna consciousness? Which is more important? In fact, in the beginning you may not realize this, but as you start advancing in Krishna consciousness, you come to a stage where you are in crossroads, because Krishna consciousness also demands many number of rounds of chanting Hare Krishna, and also strictness and waking up in the morning, doing mangalarti. So when one has to do all these things, one feels, how am I going to do my regular duties properly? So one has to be very, very intelligent. First of all, if we discuss about the principle of this, which is priority, Krishna consciousness of studies, we just discuss the principle of it. Prabhupada writes even in the Bhagavad Gita purports that there are two duties everyone has, spiritual duty and material duty. Material duty is your prescribed duty, namely your engineering or whatever you are doing. Spiritual duty is your prime duty, your duty to Krishna and returning to the kingdom of God. Now if you consider these two, which one is most essential? It is not very difficult for you to even get the answer yourself. Because the material duties are pertaining to the body, and the body is perishable. Because we are identifying with the body, we think life is very precious. In Bhagavatam 7th canto, it is said, a man who has the real vision to see the truth, he never praises life, because life is temporary. He never curses death, because death is inevitable. So, an intelligent person understands that in living or in death, this body is simply useless. And the so-called duties attached to the body are being performed by us because we identify with the body. So, in reality, if you see, this body is threatened at every point of time. I was just reading a few days ago, you must have heard about hijacking of the plane. You heard? Do you know how much tension those people were in? In fact, some of them were killed also. You must be knowing that. Not only the terrorists were threatening that they will kill them, they killed some of those people. So just imagine what would have happened to their families. And what would have happened to them? They are not ordinary people. They are so wealthy people. They had so much wealth and money at their disposal. But at that point of time, not just one day or 2 days, more than 7-8 days, the plane was hijacked. Just imagine how this world is putting us in such a tense situation. Not only that, as you were telling, death can come at any point of time. At the least expected moment, one can die. You cannot postpone your Krishna consciousness to your fag end of your life. You see, the modern civilization gives you a feeling that everything is in your hands. Everything is wonderfully moving. Modern civilization puts us in further and further illusion. Like you can see, so Mr. Universe, Mrs. Universe, Miss Universe, all this is going on. Today if you see so much blockage of traffic today. So this kind of infatuation is going on. Now all the students, a big group of youth and all people are sitting there to see who is the most beautiful woman in India or in the world. So this kind of programs are going on everywhere to increase the bodily consciousness more and more. So the more you get into such a culture where bodily consciousness is promoted, where the scientific facilities are awarded to you, the more you are awarded, naturally you tend to forget the death. Today even if somebody dies, they are sent to the crematorium, which is simply an electric machine. They are sent in a van or something, and then they put him inside the machine, and they apply a switch, put a switch, and then they get a bag nicely packed ashes. They give, yeah, they give like that, isn't it? So people don't know the real cruelty of life. How cruel is death? How cruel is the disease? Nobody thinks about these things. Very unfortunate. I was just reading a week ago in the paper, in some foreign country, you know this escalator? In Pune also they were trying to have one near the station. But because our people are not so good in technology, they have not yet opened it. Some problem was there. So blessed is India that they are not so advanced in technology. So they have not yet opened it. But abroad in some country, the mother and the child, they were coming down the escalator.
Delhi,
is it? Yo, here Delhi. That is in India, that means advanced Delhi. So the child somehow tripped and the child said, it was some 4 or 5 year old child. The head went into the bottommost portion of the escalator and got stuck there. And still the escalator was moving. And the mother was trying to get the child out, but there was a gear and there was chain. And the head got so badly stuck that the child could not get the head out. And practically for more than 45 minutes or 1 hour, people are trying to stop the machine, but nobody knew where is the switch. Nobody knew how to take out the child. In front of her own eyes, she saw the head of the child is squeezed into chutney. Can you imagine how bad it is? So we are proud that we are advancing in technology. Srila Prabhupada used to say when he was in America, all the while, wherever you turn, zoom, 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 so many vehicles running back and forth. Prabhupada says they have created a dangerous situation in this world because of all this advancement. We think now we have vehicles to go fastly, but you can imagine what the modern advancement has created. There is such a danger for life. Kamala jala jala, jivana taramala. This is a very appropriate sentence. Our life is on a tottering platform. Anytime we can die. Like the child, the parents would have never expected that my child is going to die in such a pitiable way. So, when one is a child, one may die. In youth, you may die. In old age, you may die. Nobody knows how long are we going to live. So, when a person understands what is Krishna consciousness, and he realizes the importance of becoming Krishna conscious urgently, he will not even lose one moment. Every moment is so precious for such a person. Because he has learned the knowledge. He has understood what is body, what is soul. Jesus would ask this question, what profit is a man if he gains the whole world but at the cost of his own soul. Is it useful to gain the whole world at the cost of your own soul? It is foolishness. It is like buying a beautiful painting at the cost of your eyes. If somebody tells you, I will give you a very beautiful picture, I will open and show it to you, provided first you give me your two eyes. Then I will give you the picture. Will you give your eyes? Is it not foolishness to give away one's eyes to buy a picture? And even if you buy it, can you see it? What is the use of that? In the same way, modern advancement and technology is claiming your life. What is the meaning of real life? Atma means the soul. Atmaha means killer of the soul. Modern civilization teaches us how to kill the soul. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Nainam Chindante Shastrani, Atma cannot be killed. Na hanyate, hanyamane sharire. Atma cannot be killed, he says. But still, the same scriptures again say, Atmaha, killer of the soul. What does it mean? It means, when one does not use a particular object for which it is meant for, then he is called as killer of that object. You are not using it for the right purpose for which it is meant for. This human form of life has been achieved after millions of lifetimes. In so many bodies the soul keeps on wandering again and again. And we have been suffering in so many bodies. So much of suffering. And now we have come ultimately to this human form of life. In human form of life we can have the wisdom to see that everyone is suffering in this world. With your eyes you can clearly see that. The condition of material life is just like a man thrown in the midst of an ocean. Life is nothing but struggle. You can practically see that. In some places it is manifest, in some places it is hidden. It is only a question of a person's spiritual intelligence to see. If you have the real Viveka Buddhi to see, you can clearly understand that everything people are doing in this world is simply a great amount of suffering. You can see that. And there is something going on in the name of happiness in this world which is also actually suffering, and we are unable to see it. As I told you, the modern civilization tries to patch up and cover up the realities of life. There are so many sufferings in the world, but they are trying to cover up the realities. So, in human life, one can gain the intelligence to understand that this world is full of suffering, I have to get out of it. So one has to work towards that. This is the meaning of real progressive way of life. Srila Prabhupada used to ask a simple question. People have finished their master's degree and doctorate degree, still they cannot control their mind and senses. In universities of God, there are students from Cambridge and Oxford, but they have no controlled senses. According to Shastra, advancement in civilization means man is able to control his mind and senses and focus his intelligence on God. That is real civilization. Otherwise, what is the use of getting a doctorate degree and behaving like a monkey or a dog? Today morning I was hearing a purport in Bombay. When we were sitting, the purport said, purpose is, any amount of big material education makes one just like a monkey or like a big forest animal. What he actually meant is monkey is a cheater because he goes into the forest and has sex with dozens of monkeys, although he appears to be like a renunciate. So modern education has made man only more cunning and has made man more exploitative. How to exploit things around me. In fact, companies are teaching people how to become a better and better exploitator. The more you learn the art of exploitation, people call you more intelligent in the modern times. That is the condition of the world today. So one should be able to see through all the coverings, the realities of life. In human form of life, if we don't achieve Krishna consciousness, what is going to happen to us? We don't know where are we going to be born next life. We may be an animal, or we may be born in some other place where there is no association of devotees. So one should understand the prime duty of life first. So the prime duty is Krishna consciousness. So in order to achieve that, can we give up everything? Is it possible? Can we throw away everything? Yes, you can, if you really can do it. If one has the ability to give away everything and completely surrender to Krishna, as Krishna says, Sarvadharman Parityajyamamekam Sharanam Vraja, it is wonderful, but every one of us don't have that ability. So Krishna prescribes in Bhagavad Gita says, there is Varnashrama system. Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. There is division according to work. Division, social divisions are all made wonderfully. So we have to fit in one of these ashram and one of these varna, and we have to execute our duties. Like all of you here, most of you all are engineers studying in a college or working. So you have your prescribed duty that has to go on. At the same time, the prime duty, Krishna consciousness, should never be forgotten. In fact, when there are two things, if you don't know how to balance it, Krishna consciousness should be given top priority. How do you understand that? Because this is a question of life and death. Whereas the prescribed duty, even if you imperfectly perform it, is only for one lifetime. You are going to shed this body, you are going to give up your designation as an engineer or a doctor or as a works manager in a company or as such and such caste person. All these are external designations which will perish at the time of death. Whereas your eternal soul, that is not going to perish. That is going to go body after body. So, understanding these two duties, one should know spiritual duties priority over material duties. And also, when one becomes a devotee, one becomes free from all vices. What about your friends who are spending time in cinemas, movies, in parties, in hunting for women, in going to so many other places, in gossiping? Your friends are spending so much time and you are not doing all those activities. That same time, where are you using? Are you using it for Krishna? And your friends have so many bad vices because of which they are complicating their life. For example, if one of your friends has a tendency to read abominable pornographic books, not only is he wasting the time involved in reading that book, but then he has gained a bad association in his brain, due to which when he opens the book, all his consciousness is in women and prostitution. He is unable to concentrate on the book. So hours and hours he is keeping the book open, but he is unable to study. But all those hours are saved for you. Similarly, a person who has a habit of smoking, he has cultivated the habit, he has to go. His mind is pulling him. Or his mind is pulling him to the bar. Or his mind is pulling him to the call girls. He is going here and there. His life is completely doomed to frustration. Whereas you are saving all such time. Where are you using that time? Our problem is, we don't want to become Krishna conscious. We just want to get rid of Krishna. We wonder why Krishna came into my life and is harassing me like this. I was so peaceful in my earlier life. I was like a hero. So many people respected me. So many people loved me. And I was becoming bigger and bigger in society. My relatives respected me. And I was a don't care master. Now all these people have come into my life and they are practically, they are calling me sometimes a fool. They are telling me to become humble, telling me to become servant of the servant. And they are claiming so much of my time. And they are putting so many restrictions. Don't do this, don't do that. So many restrictions. Why did I invite all this trouble? It appears to be trouble, but it is a blessing. Just like, if you say, for example, you have a flight tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock and you kept an alarm clock at 4 o'clock and the alarm is ringing in the morning, is it a disturbance or is it an advantage for you? Tell me. Advantage. But then the alarm rings, you have no habit of waking up at 4 o'clock, you will consider it a disturbance. You will want to put it off. You will curse the alarm clock. Where is it? Why is it making sound? But the alarm clock is actually awakening you. To bring you to sanity, you are asleep, completely in deep sleep, insane, you don't know what is happening around you. But the alarm clock is bringing you to sanity. It's telling you, my dear friend, don't sleep. Now your flight will go away. If you sleep, you lose the flight. So it is bringing you to proper state of consciousness. Similarly, Krishna consciousness is an awakening. Krishna consciousness is awakening us to the real consciousness. That means from dark, we are coming to the light. Tamasoma. Jyotirgamaya, from dark we are coming to light. Similarly, from sleeping state we are coming to the wakeful state. This transition is always very painful. Nobody wants to wake up from their bed, especially in cold winter. You really feel very bad when the alarm clock rings. Oh, how nice if only it will If only it will become 5 o'clock after 5 hours. How nice it will be. You get really fed up. Everyone, even in the alarm rings, people go slowly open the eyes and see how much is the time. Whether I have some more time. If it is 5 minutes to 4, then you think, oh, this 5 minutes I can sleep. We don't want to get up. So we consider it a nuisance value. We consider it of nuisance value. Although it is really not of nuisance value. It is actually awakening us so that we can come back to our sane condition. We can take a fresh bath and go and chant and dance in front of the Lord's ladies. So, in the same way, when devotees are trying to bring you back to sanity, bring you back to Krishna consciousness, you are actually coming from an abnormal state of life to normal state of living. But foolish people in the world say that you have become abnormal. Actually, they are abnormal. Who is abnormal? One who has forgotten his real duty in life is abnormal. He's crazy. So, one has to understand, the prime duty in life is to become Krishna conscious. And we have to center all our activities around it. Top priority is to become Krishna conscious. Why? If you become Krishna conscious in this very life, you can return back home back to Godhead. In this very life. And then other duties, you do your best. In the best possible way. Try to do it. And it is possible. Why we are always blaming Krishna? Actually, we have got many more things to blame. If you very carefully analyze your life, I can ask you a question. Why did you gossip for 2 hours with your friend? Such and such day. I can ask any of you, because all of us gossip. If you ask you, why did you gossip with such and such friend 2 hours that day? You just imagine, did you all not gossip for 2 hours with one of your friends? Isn't it? Why did you waste that time? Isn't it? Or I can ask you, why did you unnecessarily, why were you brooding over that past happening for 6 hours on such and such day? Don't you brood over the past things? Don't you worry about the past things? Or why were you making plans for the future for several hours? So all these things are sucking our time. We can easily see that. So if a devotee becomes intelligent and Krishna conscious and surrenders himself to Krishna, he can save time in all these activities. There is no need to brood over the past happenings. Nor we have to think whether I can make this plan, future plan, you know, fulfilled, whether it is going to happen or not. You don't have to take tension. As soon as you become a devotee of Krishna, Krishna takes care of everything. Just leave everything to Him and you don't have any tension, you have nothing to worry about and you go ahead with your duty. So Krishna's devotee can do his duty in the perfect way. That is why many Krishna's devotees shine very much, even in material life. Because like Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, what the other high court judges would take time, he would take just 1/10 of that time. If a high court judge would take 10 hours to do his job, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would do it in 1 hour. Very quickly. Easily he would understand the situations. Sometimes even 10-15 people would come to him and tell different things about a particular case. He would hear all of them and tell them, okay, this is my conclusion, note down. Immediately. That was his ability. How? Because the devotee's head is very clear. Nothing is smudged. Whereas a materialist's head is fully smudged with varieties of thoughts. It's like pouring different colors on a paper. It's all completely smudged. You don't know what is what. They don't have clear thinking. That is why they have to speculate so much to arrive at something. Whereas devotee's mind is so clear in thinking. Srila Prabhupada also, whenever anybody asked any question to him, immediately he would give an answer. He never had to think twice. Because devotee's thinking is very, very clear. So when you become devotee, your thinking becomes clear. Spiritually you gain enormous advantage. And materially also you gain a lot. But due to our past life, if you are not materially very intelligent, due to our past life, still you don't have much to worry. Because if you are a devotee, then your life is perfect. Isn't it? Because devotee's qualification is seen according to his spiritual credits, not according to material credits. A small squirrel wanted to build a bridge for Lord Ramachandra. And Lord Ramachandra appreciated his efforts as much as he appreciated Hanuman's efforts. Isn't it? So even animals, we see in the Lord's pastimes, have assumed so much importance. What to speak of us human beings, if you endeavor to do a little bit of devotional service to the Lord, Lord will be very pleased by that, rather than do mountain and mountain of prescribed duty very perfectly. Sometimes the scriptures talk about the importance of prescribed duty. It is only for those who are trying to escape from all duties of the world and remain like an animal. See, if somebody is like an animal, for him you have to tell him that you have to do at least the prescribed duties. You are not doing anything. Like somebody is born in a house, he has a very healthy body. He's a 20-year-old boy. But every morning he wakes up at 11 o'clock and takes his food and again goes to sleep. Or he's brushing his teeth for 2 hours. Sometimes you see people like that. They don't do any duty. They just sleep at home and they go for watching movies. Or they go to arak shop to drink liquor and come back and they beat their wife. You have seen such cases of people. For them it is said, you rascal, prescribed duty is the most important thing for you. You have to take care of your mother, take care of your father, take care of your wife and children. There is no other goal of life. This is the topmost goal of life for you. For him that is the topmost goal. But for all of you who are already doing your prescribed duty very nicely, for you what is the topmost goal? Shastras are so intelligent, they bring a person carefully to higher and higher status. You are not doing any duty, okay, at least do your prescribed duty. To father, mother, wife, children. Okay, you are already doing your prescribed duty? Okay, now think of the eternal life. There is eternal life awaiting you. Don't identify with the family. Your father, mother, children, wife, they all are like different leaves floating in a river. Thousands of leaves are floating. Some 4 or 5 of them come together and get separated, never to meet again. Similarly, your father, mother, they all are put in the same family. Everyone is going to die. We are going to die. They are going to die. So we are going to get separated and go to some other destination. So an intelligent person always has this knowledge in his mind. He never wastes even one moment understanding the ultimate goal of life. And even our studies we should do only for earning our livelihood. A devotee is not doing his studies in order to gain name and fame. A devotee is not doing studies so that I can earn lakhs of rupees and accumulate and become a millionaire. Because devotee knows that these things are all perishable. They will all vanish one day. Nothing is going to remain with us. But Krishna consciousness, that is an eternal gift. That can never be taken away from you. Even little bit of sarpamapiyasa dharmasya kayate mahatobaya. He says, even little bit of Krishna consciousness you do is going to go along with you. So, one has to learn intelligently to take both things together. His material prescribed duties and spiritual duties going on parallelly, hand in hand. That is why we have a counselor system. So, counselor can help. A leader who is a counselor is more advanced in spiritual life than us. The decision that we cannot make, he can make for us. We can consult him and ask him, please tell me, this is my situation. Am I unable to do anything? Please tell me how I can adjust my timings. So we should inquire and get a solution and then apply it in our life. But we have to take the medicine properly. If you take the medicine and keep it in your cupboard and lock it and never see it, then how will your disease go away? So you have to use the medicine regularly to become free from the disease. So I also like the question about Krishna, why Krishna is not so famous. This is what generally people ask in the beginning when they come to our moment. Why Krishna is not so famous? We think Krishna is not so famous because we think we are the center of the universe. So everything is working around me. I am the most famous and everyone else is infamous. So when we think, like a jugnu, you know, what do you call it? A firefly in the night. He feels so proud because it is pitch dark in the night. He flies from one place to another and shows everyone, just see my light, how bright I am. He wants everyone to glorify him. In fact, he is in search of all people who are glorifying him. He thinks I am the source of all light. But in the morning, when the sun shines in the sky, what is the level of this firefly? Nobody even looks at him. Nobody can even see him. That is what Lord Brahmaji said. Brahmaji compared himself to be a firefly. Yena sarochisha vishwam rochitam rochayamyaham. He says in that shloka. Yatharkshagrihataraka. He says, yena sarochisha vishwam rochitam rochayamyaham. He says, just like the sun is emanating light and all the other planets, the stars, the moon, and the other firmament, they all are getting light from the sun. And, of course, they appear to be glowing because actually sun is glowing. That is why they are also appearing to be glowing. Otherwise, without the sun, they cannot glow. Like that Brahmaji said. Brahmaji said, I am like a firefly in the night. Just like firefly is very proud, I am also proud. But in the morning sun, easily firefly loses all its power. Similarly, in front of Krishna, what is my power, ability, he said. So, as long as we are not proper devotees, we don't know the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when we become devotees, then we get to realize how Krishna is famous. In fact, Krishna is glorified by the Ananta Sheshavati, has thousands of hoods right from the dawn of creation. Till date, he has not finished Krishna's glories. Why? Because the moment Krishna performs one activity, he gets a new name. As soon as Krishna sat on the chariot of Arjuna, he was called as Parthasarathi. As soon as Krishna appeared in Vrindavan and took the cows for herding, he became Gopal. Like that, every activity Krishna performs and he gets a new name. So Ananta Sesha, he is not able to finish ending Krishna's glories. One great poet, he wrote a poem saying that if all the sky is made into paper and all the trees are made into a pen and all the oceans are made into ink, and if I begin writing the Lord's glories, all this is not enough, he said. So, Lord is very famous, but why everyone is not able to see the fame of the Lord? Because we are insignificant in our level. Just like, as I often give the example, if in this room, if there's a small ant in one corner of this room, how much will he know the wonderful program going on here? He will not know anything. He will know only ants. Besides ants, he doesn't know anybody. Or he may have best, if he is in the top, he may know only this platform. He doesn't know anything else in this entire creation. But there are many other things in the wonderful creation. Similarly, the earth is a small, tiny speck in the entire creation. If any of you have seen the galaxy, Milky Way, the earth has no significance in that. It's not even a dot. It is smaller than a dot. You just cannot, you know, show the earth that. It is not even a dot. It is so tiny. And in that earth, what is our position? In that earth, there are so many continents, and there are so many countries, there are so many states, and there are so many cities, and we are in one of the smallest cities, Pune. And even in Pune, we are in one small patch of land, 1 acre land. And 1 acre land, we are small, what is our cross section? A few centimeter square cross section we are sitting. So this is our tiny position, and we are trying to check whether Lord is famous or not. Actually, Lord makes the living being forget his fame purposefully. In his answer, Ananda Upanishad was telling that we have forgotten the Lord's fame. I will put it in the other way. We have not just forgotten, we wanted to forget. That is why Lord has purposefully put us in forgetfulness. Just like a person who does not want to follow the laws of the state, no, the state puts him in a jail so that he will not be exposed to the things of the state. Similarly, we wanted a place where we can avoid seeing Krishna, where we can forget his glories, where we can forget all his wonderful pastimes, where we can remain under a nice grand illusion, thinking ourselves to be Krishna, God. So Lord said, no, no, if you go there, you will really suffer. You cannot be happy. But we wanted it. Then Lord put us into this material world. Material world means a place of forgetfulness. That is material world. We wanted to forget, so Lord has put us into forgetfulness. So this material world is the best place for becoming an atheist. So very easily you can become atheist. So if you see atheists in this world, don't be surprised. Because this is a place of atheists. It's atheistic people are supposed to live in this world. Everyone is supposed to be a number one atheist in this world. But even amongst the atheistic, rebellious living entities, there are some who are intelligent. So they have got the eyes to see how the living beings are suffering in this world. Just like in a jail, everyone is put in a jail so that they can forget the Prime Minister, they can forget the laws of the country, and they can forget about an ideal way of living, and they wanted to lead a life separate from the laws of the country. So they are put in a jail. In a jail, and the Prime Minister kindly provides, the government provides everything. They provide food, clothing, shelter. Similarly, God has provided us grains, fruits and everything that we need. But then in a jail there is punishment of breaking the stones, which is very painful. Your chest may pain so much when you break the stones. Big stones you have to break. And if you are trying to escape from the service, the policeman will be after you, whipping you. You have to do the breaking of stones. So people break the stone, and there are many, many busy robbers or thieves breaking the stones. Amongst them, somebody may be intelligent. They may ask others, "Hey, why are you all breaking the stone? How long will you have to break the stone? Is it our duty to break the stone? Or is there any way out of this?" Other person says, "Hey, chup chup, don't speak anything. Continue breaking." An intelligent person will find out, "Let me see, this person is there who doesn't allow me to stop breaking. Let me find out why." Then such an intelligent person can think that there is certainly a superior way of life where you don't have to break stones, where you can live outside the jail. But all you need to do is to follow the laws of the state. Why are we inside the jail? Because we did pickpocketing, or we did raping, or we did robbery in the bank. That's why we are inside. So if I abide by the laws of the state, then I don't have to break the stones. Then he consults the police, and the police tells him, "Yes, if you are ready to become righteous, we will let you out." Then he can go out of the jail. He doesn't have to break the stones. So in this world, everyone is remaining in forgetfulness. And devotees are those who have for the first time understood that we don't have to break the stones. So breaking the stones are the varieties of prescribed duties, so-called prescribed duties which we are doing, which we think it's a prescribed duty for us. And we don't have the conviction to give up that. That is why the prescribed duties are given by the Shastra. Sarvadharman Paritajya is a topmost platform which everyone cannot do. That's why the Lord says, "Okay, you come to the platform gradually by performing your prescribed duties." So Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, the four categories are given. Wherever you are fitting in, you fit in. And you do those duties, along with that you practice Krishna consciousness. And life one will understand gradually is simply a struggle. Srila Prabhupada explains, right from the time one marries, after the point of vanaprastha, this 25 or 30 or 40 years, one is simply fighting with material nature. Material nature will put an impediment in front of you, boom, like that. And then you say, boom. You know, you try to attack it and you are giving it this problem, you have solved this problem. If you have lived in a family, you will easily know. Your mother will come and say, "Oh, in my bank, you know, that such and such lady is going to get promotion. She is writing such and such examination." And her husband will say, "Don't worry, you also write that examination. I will provide you all the books and things." So she will try to write the examination, somehow get promotion. And her husband will say, "Oh, I am transferred to such and such place. I have to go to Delhi." So how to avoid that? So we have to give some bribe to such and such person. So give the bribe and then you will be remaining here. Everyone is facing varieties of difficulties and they are trying to set the things right. Adjust the things in some way to make their life comfortable. You are given pinch from all sides. Somebody is pinching your toe and another pinch is coming here. Like that, all directions pinching is coming in everyone's life. And we think somehow or other I will be very comfortable. But nobody lets you to be comfortable. The material nature is such that you are constantly being pinched from all directions. If you have not yet realized it, just wait. Very soon as you go ahead in your life, you will see that you are pinched from all directions. So if you want a comfortable situation, get out of this pinching problem, then you have to get out of this world. There is no other alternative. Otherwise the burden of this material world is always going to be with you. It is impossible to make a situation better in this world. You think you have achieved a better situation, that's another illusion. Before you can think like that, another problem will come. That's the nature of this world. So the living entities who want to forget Krishna, Krishna supplies them forgetfulness. He says, "Mataha smritir jnanam apohanam cha." He says, forgetfulness comes from me, remembrance comes from me, and knowledge comes from me, Krishna says. So what can we do? We may not know the fame of Krishna, so we should pray to him. Like the Yajnapatmis, they pray to the Lord, "Oh Lord, may your lotus feet be constantly invoked in our heart." So only by Krishna's mercy can we understand his fame. Only by Krishna's mercy can we see that we are insignificant speck at his lotus feet. We say, no, ayinanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mamishine bhavambudo kripyata vapada pankaja sthitaduri sadrisham vichintaya. I am like a small speck in your lotus feet. We sometimes wonder, how can I be a small speck? We don't understand this. But that understanding will come only by Lord's mercy. When he gives the mercy, we can understand how tiny we are and how great he is. And how his love for us is so great, and we have no love for him. Our heart is like a dry desert, but Lord's love for us is so great. So one can understand all these things. whenever somebody asked Prabhupada about Krishna's fame, Prabhupada used to say, even atheists are talking about God. God is so famous that atheists are always arguing that there is no God. So if there were no God, then atheists should keep quiet. Why should they speak about Him? They are always arguing there is no God because God is so famous. So people may certainly ask, he was asking the question, his second question was a little different. His first question was, why God is not famous everywhere? Second question was, why people do not know God as Krishna? Isn't it? That was the second question. That understanding also, Lord does not reveal very easily. How easy is it for everyone to become very intimate with the Prime Minister of India? How many of us can be intimate? It is not very easy. Some of us may know only the government of India. Some of us may at best become MP and we may see the Prime Minister face to face. But we cannot have a very intimate relation with them. But then only the Prime Minister's wife, children, father, mother, they can have a very intimate relationship. And anybody connected to them can have a very intimate relationship. Like for example, if you are a car driver of Prime Minister's son, then you can also have you can enjoy a very intimate relationship with the Prime Minister. Is it not? Because you will be taking a son and you can get to talk to him very closely and intimately. So either we have to be directly related to the Prime Minister or we should be assisting those who are directly related to the Prime Minister. In the same way, those who are Brahmavadis, Krishna does not reveal His form to them. Krishna makes them think that God is impersonal. Like the government, when you say government, it is impersonal. So they can only at best understand the impersonal effulgence, Brahma Jyoti. But those who progress further and surrender more, for them the Lord reveals the Paramatma future. Where one can know the form, but they cannot have a intimate loving reciprocation. Like the member of parliament's meeting, Prime Minister in the parliament house. How much relation can they have? At best they can salute. Saluting relationship. That's all. Whereas those who are bhaktas, devotees, they can very intimately have reciprocation with the Lord. Krishna is playing with the coward boys in Vrindavan. He is dancing with the coward girls in the Rasa dance. And he is lying in the lap of Mother Yashoda. These are all very intimate relationships. So only for them the Lord reveals His personal form. For others, Lord tells them, okay, you are surrendering this much, according to the proportion of your surrender, I will reveal myself to you. Somebody is surrendering to God, oh God, you are so frightening, fearful. If I don't do this, you will punish me. So God reveals to them only to that extent. That's why Krishna says, ye yathama prapadyante, he says. To the degree to which you surrender, that much I will reveal myself to you. So God is reciprocating with us. Whatever way you surrender, he reveals that much. So the total overall understanding of God is that God is a loving person and is full of transcendental mellows as Krishna. And we all are fortunate because we have access to such an understanding. How great it is. In the world there are so many people worshipping God in so many ways, but very few have this understanding of God reciprocating in these five transcendental mellows. It's very rare to gain this understanding. Of course, we have gotten access to enjoy these relationships, but for that we have to really surrender. We are speaking all these things today because we have a connection to a very advanced devotee like Srila Prabhupada or his disciples. That's why we are able to even speak these things. But in order to relish these things and enjoy, what is demanded? Surrender. We have to surrender more and more. Now Lord has at least given us access to understand these things. Now by more and more surrender we can relish and enjoy and experience these relationships with the Lord. Then we can understand how famous is Krishna. In fact, you will understand when you become Uttamadhikari that everyone is talking about Krishna only. Everything is made for Krishna special. Every speck of dust, every speck of Lord's creation is meant only for His pleasure. One can understand like that. And also one can also see, after becoming a very very advanced devotee, that if somebody is a very beautiful actor, like now Miss India, now they were telling me how thousands of cars have come and they blocked all the roads. They all have come here to see Krishna. How do you know? They come to see Krishna. Yes, they are mad after Krishna's beauty. But because of their illusion, they wanted to be separate from Krishna. They are seeing Krishna's beauty in His illusory energy. This is another energy of Krishna. Woman, the beauty of woman is said to be a powerful agency of Krishna's illusory energy. Woman is an agent of illusory energy. So same Krishna's beauty is reflecting in the body of a flesh, woman. It's simply a lump of flesh, but it is reflecting on that. So they are attracted here. They do not know what is real beauty. So they are running after the shadow. Sometimes, you know, animals, they chase after the shadow, they become afraid. And dogs, when they see a shadow, they keep on beating the shadow. They don't know. They become afraid. Seeing. Similarly, these people are trying to squeeze out some pleasure from this shadow, this material body. But this kind of chasing and hankering towards the shadow is actually same in magnitude but in opposite direction to the attraction they have for Krishna actually. Because Krishna has attraction for beauty of Krishna only. Similarly, Mike Tyson is giving a blow and somebody is breaking, getting his tooth broken, and everyone appreciates so much, isn't it? But this kind of strength actually comes from Krishna. Krishna says, Balam Balavatam Chaham. So they are appreciating Krishna's strength, but they themselves do not know it. This is very unfortunate. In the same way, everything, knowledge, strength, beauty, everything actually originally comes from Krishna only. He is the source. Without him, all these people cannot have anything. Yadyat vibhuti matsattvam srimad urjitame bhava tatta teva vakachattvam mama teja amsha sambhavam, he says. Mama teja amsha. It's all my teja, Krishna says. It's not only my teja, it's a small amsha of my teja. What to speak of Krishna's teja? Original opulence of Krishna, if you see, will be completely stand. So, ultimately one understands when one becomes a devotee that all these things going on in this world, the opulences are all coming from Krishna. That is why Krishna is all famous. Everyone is glorifying Krishna in an indirect way. But glorifying is illusory energy. But this is what these living beings wanted. So Radha supplied the desire.